Pray with me, please. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, breath of God and fire of love, we cannot pray, we cannot preach, we cannot receive preaching without your aid. So kindle in us now the fire of your love and illumine us with your light, that with steadfast wills and holy thoughts we may approach the Father in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who reigns with you in the Father in eternal union. Amen. You may be seated. Hearing all those readings for the second time this morning after having read them a few times during the week in preparation, I just realized how much richness there is, especially in that gospel reading. It's probably a good thing Gary's not here, because he might be appalled that I'm not preaching on the Thomas moment. I'm sorry, Gary, if you're watching this, or if you watch it later, I'll preach on that next time. Because it's a baptism Sunday, we'll baptize two at the 11:15 service. I wanted to zoom in on just one word and one lesson, the New Testament lesson. In 1 Peter, one word I want to zoom in on and think about just briefly. This might be one of the shorter sermons I give here. We'll see. I don't know. It's that word inheritance. Now, I suspect for most of us, when we hear the word inheritance, our cultural imagination kind of takes hold, and we think about inheritance in terms of wealth and maybe property and things that we pass on to the next generation. Every generation at some level wants things to be even better for their kids and the next generation after them. And so we spend time and effort to build up wealth and build up things to pass on to our kids. And that is what we call an inheritance. And we pass it down to them knowing that we'll one day leave this earth. And if that's the main thing that comes to our mind, which I wouldn't be surprised, then I would say that we're thinking in very good, solid Old Testament categories. Throughout the Old Testament, especially the land of Israel, is described as Israel's inheritance. The physicality of the land, the wealth that they can build on the land, very material and earthly things are called inheritance. And you'll see later in the Old Testament, kind of as the story moves on, especially in the wisdom literature, it kind of grows into this idea of actual wealth, not just the land itself, but building up wealth to pass on to your kids. That is a good thing in the Old Testament scriptures, especially in Proverbs. And then it's very interesting then how Peter takes that language being soaked in the Old Testament and subtly but significantly shifts that idea in this passage. Because the inheritance that he's talking about is transcendent. The inheritance that Peter's talking about is heavenly. The inheritance that Peter's talking about is not of this world. It's of the kingdom. It's of heaven. It's particularly of Jesus and life in him. I want to think real quickly about these three ways that Peter uses language about this inheritance, these three words he attaches to that idea of inheritance, and kind of compare and contrast maybe our earthly ideas with this heavenly idea of an inheritance. The inheritance we've been given in Jesus is, in Peter's language, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. I'll take them at a turn, one in order. Imperishable. Your wealth, at least your enjoyment of your wealth, will die with you. And it will one day pass away entirely. As they say, you can't take it with you. There's no U-Haul behind a hearse. Haven't heard that? Okay, well. And one day, all of that wealth will perish. In the new world, in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, when we reach eternal life, our destiny with Jesus, our money will be no good there. It will not have made any difference how much money we made. The only difference our money will have made is if we used it for God's kingdom purposes. That's what our money will do good in eternity for. But it is perishable and it will perish. But the inheritance we're given in Jesus is unperishable. It does not die. It always lasts. It is steady and stable. It survives. Second, undefiled. Don't get me wrong here. I'm a capitalist. My wife can tell you the few times that I've walked into an American grocery store after having seen some video footage of Soviet Union grocery stores and thought to myself, Jesus, thank you for capitalism. And yet, I suspect, if we dug down to the very roots of how some of our technology especially, and some of our production is produced in general, we might be, and maybe should be, appalled at how defiled our wealth potentially is. I don't think we can really escape that in the systems that we have built. I don't think anyone in the room, self-included, is completely undefiled when it comes to how we've received our wealth. And Jesus gets to figure that out at the kingdom. I don't know what to do with that, because I would love to just go be a hermit in the hills and grow everything myself and kill all. I mean, my wife would love that too, but that's not the system we live in. And somehow Jesus is going to sort that all out. But the inheritance that he gives us is completely and utterly undefiled, because it's been won for us, it's been given to us by the only perfect, the only just, the only righteous human being, Jesus. The inheritance we receive in him is utterly, totally pure and clean and undefiled, unlike, most likely, our earthly inheritance. And then finally, he says this inheritance is unfading. This week, Wednesday, I think, I barely know what day it is, and here's why. I flew out to California for my grandma's funeral and flew back the very same night. And it happens every time I take a trip to California, me and my next brother-in-law named Lane, we always eventually start talking about one particular thing, our Robinhood accounts. And let me tell you, that Robinhood account, that can fade. Investments can fade. They can diminish. You can make bad bets. You can make wrong calls. Your wealth is susceptible to fading. My wealth certainly is. Sorry, babe. The inheritance we are giving in Jesus cannot fade. It cannot diminish. It cannot decrease. This morning, we're going to baptize two young infant boys. Canon Gamewell Barr, CG, and Salters Allen Elmer. And I'm going to try to challenge those parents and godparents as they take the vows that they're going to take. And I'm going to challenge in the room the parents and godparents in the room that in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot serve two inheritances. You cannot serve God and money. One thing and one thing only is going to be at the top, at the zenith of the hierarchy in your life. And it will either be the wealth and inheritance of this world, or it will be the wealth and inheritance that Peter is talking about here, and that is the inheritance of faith. The inheritance of a belief in Jesus that transcends and has access to now this new inheritance, an inheritance that is unperishable and undefiled and unfading. Now again, don't get me wrong, it's good to build up wealth and pass it on. But if that occupies the top of your hierarchy, as Jesus Christ himself said, it is very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you have to choose one thing to pass on to your kids, please, Lord, let it not be your wealth, let it be your faith. We like to think, I think, that our children will worship, will rise up and grow up and worship what we tell them, what we teach them to worship. And I think it's more likely that it's not necessarily what we teach them to worship that they'll end up worshiping. It's what we actually worship. Talk all you want. If the walk doesn't match it, they might end up worshiping something else. I said that I went and preached my grandma's funeral, and on Monday, I was listening to morning prayer and praying a lot about, I don't know what I'm going to preach. And then in the lesson, the second lesson for morning prayer on, I think, Monday morning, I heard these words, Paul's words to Timothy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you. I haven't heard anything about grandma's inheritance, and I don't care. My grandma believed in Jesus. And because of that, she raised my dad to believe in Jesus. And because of that, he raised me to believe in Jesus. And that's why I'm standing here. That's what matters. That's what has to occupy the top of the hierarchy. And I still have some of the dirt from her burial on my shoes this morning. Don't tell Gary. I didn't brush him up. But that's what matters. And I suspect that that might be for some of us who may have reached the age of having grandkids, that might be a heavy word, because we may look back and think that we didn't do all we could. Well, none of us ever do. I have failed plenty of times, and there are plenty of times in front of me for failure, and I trust I will. But the glorious thing about this inheritance that we receive from Jesus is that it completely has nothing to do with how well we live, how well we parent, how many times we fail. It's given to us as a free gift if we just believe in Jesus. And if regret lingers in how you've raised your kids or where they are or what they're doing, I certainly could be open to regret in 20 years. I have no idea. Lord willing not, but that's not up to me. The good news of Jesus is that he can forgive and redeem every single error, mistake, and failure that we perform. That inheritance is unperishable. It's undefiled. It can't diminish. It's unfading. And that, please, Lord, let that be what we pass on. Pray with me, please. Jesus, thank you for the good news of this inheritance that you have earned for us and given to us, all of grace and mercy, through faith simply in your gospel. I pray for all those here, and especially, God, for CG and for Salters as we baptize them this morning, that faith, this faith, our faith, would be the thing we pass down. In Jesus' name, amen.